faith. By definition, it's something that is felt with strong conviction without tangible evidence of its existence. Many claim to have it, but how do we attain it? It can't be held. It can't be sold. But it can be passed down. Faith is invaluable to those who feel it. How is it that this belief can unite us regardless of our differences? It's because of conviction, that feeling inside that links so many, from the far corners of the earth to the closest reaches of our neighborhoods. Faith is all around us. Faith springs from a glorious past forward to a promising future. The faith that those who not so quietly defeated rivals and redefined record books would inspire their brethren of today to reach such epic accomplishments. And all along, there are those who cheer. In their minds, they envision. In their hearts, they believe. And because of that, they are simply known as the faithful.
What 21-year-old doesn't want to write a bucket list? It seemed like the thing to do. I think everybody in my family has bucket lists. And so, like every good millennial, I was multitasking by being on Facebook. And so this ad was served to me about the Great Lung Run, and I was sitting there looking at my list: learn Spanish, learn to weld, or I can, you know, run across the country. That sounds like it would be fun.
Meet Christina Lee. She's a hometown faithful from San Jose, California. And she decided to make a journey from New York to San Francisco, inch by inch, step by step, mile by mile, for a great cause. But before she ever laced up her sneakers and hit the open road, her faithful story started where all stories do.
I remember her moving, because I would get very much into the games and very nervous. And I remember her kicking me sometimes when I was yelling. I'd be like, okay, I just need to take it down just a notch, you know, or she was probably rooting inside, would be my bet.
Even before she entered this world, Christina Lee was bound to root for the red and gold. Her parents, Debbie and Harry Lee, were second generation 49er fans and on pace to raise a third.
I was just born into it. I inherited it. Some people are, you know, queens. I'm just a 49er faithful.
The kids, I bought them all these red 49er jumpsuits at one time, and they all had them.
We would go to games and be decked out head to toe in 49ers gear. I mean, like sometimes when we were playing the Packers or something, we would wear a cheese grater on our head. We went all out for games.
She had this big stuffed cow, and it was called Cow Cow. I just remember her sitting in the stands with Cow Cow on her lap in that little red sweatsuit, cheering her heart out and explaining football to Cow Cow, and just feeling so endeared by how faithful and how much she loved being at that game. She wasn't bored. She was so into it, and so was Cow Cow.
She's passionate about the team. She's about as knowledgeable as anybody that I have seen in terms of talking to. In fact, I enjoy sitting with her and watching the football game.
They would write doctor's notes for us on Monday Night Football, because I went to school in San Jose, and of course they were playing up at Candlestick still at that point. And so my dad would come into the office and say, oh, Christina and Mitchell, you know, they have this dentist appointment and they need to skip the last 30 minutes of school. And then he would pile us in the car. He would already have it ready. We would peel out of the parking lot and we would head up and make it to the stadium just in time to put, you know, some stuff on the barbecue. As a kid, I thought that was the best thing ever. I thought that I was really a rebel.
Watching their 49ers, the Lees handed down their love for a team to their children. But they also handed down something else.
With our oldest, we had given him this Jerry Rice jersey, and as he wore it faithfully. And when he started to get a little bigger, he passed it down to his brother.
I eventually got it. I obviously looked the best in it.
When I was about 8 or 9 is when I think that I first started wearing it. And I call it my lucky jersey. Of course, that's not really true, but I call it my lucky jersey just because it's fun to have a lucky jersey. And so I've been wearing it ever since.
And Christina just relished it because, you know, this is from her two older brothers.
And my mom keeps saying, oh, that one's falling apart. Do you want a new jersey? No way. Like, this one, it can be threadbare. I don't care if it's falling to pieces. I'm still going to wear it until I can't anymore.
Although football was a staple in Christina's life, she had to find something that was hers.
And that something would be realized, not on the gridiron, but on the pitch.
So I started playing. I think my parents enrolled me when I was 4 or 5, as early as you could start.
The intensity, having weekend practices, endurance training. Christina was a big part of it. She was the leader. She was in the front. Our coach would ride a bike, and she would be pushing our coach on her bike to run faster. She'd tell us how to run up hills. She would research this sort of thing.
Running started for Christina as a way to get into shape for a budding soccer career that would surely pay for a college tuition. But as her high school years were coming to an end, Lee had tallied 6 prior concussions, and injuries to her brain meant she had to walk away from not only the opportunity to be a college athlete, but also from a sport that had helped to define her.
I just felt completely adrift, because anybody who's based their life on athletics, you can't just stop being an athlete one day. You can't just say, oh, doc, you told me I couldn't play? All right, I'm done. I don't need to be an athlete anymore. Like, once you're competitive, you're always competitive. When I had to stop that, I didn't know who I was anymore. I didn't know where I fit in. And so that's when I started running again, and that became part of my identity. And so in college, I just ran on my own. I ran a couple of marathons. I never wore a watch. I never did it for time. And I think that's one of the things that people commonly misconstrue about this run, is they think, oh, that girl, she's running across America. She must be a really good runner. She must have run in college. And I laugh at that, because I'm not actually that great of a runner. I'm just a casual runner who enjoys it and who said, oh, I'll do it, you know, for 3,000 miles. But I have no running credentials.
I remember when she mentioned it, and my reaction was, well, if we don't think about this, maybe it's a phase and it will go away. And then she started training long distances and changed her running style.
So she said, I'm not coming home right away. I'm going to run home. And she told us that while we were on the phone, long distance, because that's the best way to tell Dad.
No. No, don't do that. Stop.
She tells me she's going to run across America, and it was in the middle of a conversation, I think, when I was telling her that I wanted her to be my bridesmaid in my wedding in July. So she said she was going to run to my wedding. My first reaction, of course, like I said, I was a little confused, and I said, you know, I'll buy you a plane ticket.
I remember when I first found out, I'm sitting at a wedding reception with the Lees, and Debbie just says very casually that Christina's going to run across country. And I kind of just paused. I thought, are you kidding me? Are you crazy?
Not crazy, just incredibly driven and determined. 23-year-old Christina Lee was going to make the arduous journey. A journey so difficult that only 3 other women have ever accomplished the feat. But this run wasn't just a bucket list item or an adventurous idea. No. It was one with incredible substance, and it would be paced with a philanthropic goal.
I think when most people ask why I'm running, they're looking for the personal connection. People don't just choose charities. I mean, I am running for a fallen Navy SEAL. I'm running for Dave Collins, and more importantly, I'm running for his wife and surviving kids. He came back from war with brain injuries. Unfortunately, one of the side effects of those is that it can make you angry, it can make you aggressive towards other people, or it can make you suicidal. And so one of the things that his wife made very sure when she told me about his story to emphasize is that he was never, ever violent with her. He was always a sweetheart all the way up until the day that he ended up taking his own life. But one of the unfortunate side effects of that is that, of course, insurance won't pay out for that cause of death. And so here you have this military wife, her husband's given everything for his country. She's trying to raise 2 kids and she has no money to do it. And so that's where the Navy SEAL Foundation stepped in and really helped her out. And so when she was telling me that, I just knew that this was a charity.
The men that are serving in the SEAL community are very dedicated. They're dedicated to their brothers. They're dedicated to their nation. Along with that, they've got the support structure of their families. And typically, these guys are gone for over 270 days out of the year. So that's where we come in and try to help support the resiliency of the community.
Our family is very patriotic. There's always been this sense of appreciation that we are free to complain about the country, complain about the way things are run, but it comes at a cost, and the cost is the fact that we have to go out there and defend those freedoms. And I think that a lot of military get recognized for their efforts. You get to wear your uniform onto a plane, and you get applauded when you come home and things like that. But there are a subset of people out there that don't get those vocal appreciations because they're not allowed to. The Navy SEALs definitely embody that. They're out there protecting our lives and doing some of the most dangerous work out there that we have for our military, but they aren't able to receive that recognition that most other branches of the military get.
So on July 7th, 2014, Christina Lee embarked from the Big Apple on a journey that would take her across the United States in order to raise money and awareness for the Navy SEAL Foundation. Her entire life packed into a stroller she aptly named Thor.
And that's Christina. Christina goes full out, head on, anything she takes.
It's incredible for anybody to do this, but then to say, yeah, that's my sister. I think that's really amazing.
Christina has told me that she thinks the hardest part is definitely the wear and tear on her feet, in her body. But more importantly, it's the mental aspect. It's very isolating.
With an open heart, her trusty stroller, and technology that tracks her every step, Christina Lee from San Jose, California, is a faithful who at the wise old age of 23 is running across the U.S. in marathon-sized chunks of mileage, all for charity.
So I'll wake up, 4:35, do email for a couple hours, go down and get some breakfast. And, you know, then I go back to my room. I pack up Thor, which takes quite a while, and then I get on the road. So I'm out on the road for 6 to 8 hours usually. It depends on how much sunlight there is. About that point, I will get into whatever town I'm going to and check into my hotel. And I usually flop down on the bed. I give myself like 30 minutes to just veg because my mind is usually fried. And then at that point, I have to go find dinner. And I think that's kind of one of the overlooked parts of being a self-supported runner is that people forget, oh yeah, you know, it doesn't just like, a car doesn't appear after the run. It's not just about pushing Thor during the day. It's that when you want food, you have to go jog another mile or 2 miles to get your pizza. You know, it's a dawn to dusk sort of deal where there's not really any free time except for those 20 to 30 minutes I give myself after the run. I think people give me the, I can't believe you're traveling alone. Aren't you scared as a female speech? A lot. But I have been incredibly surprised by how gracious and amazing the people on this route have been.
She just keeps going, regardless of the weather. People on the road, when they see someone out there by themselves, would stop to make sure she was okay. And she said, oh, my record is 19. So one time it was raining so hard, 19 different people stopped to try and take me off the road.
I mean, she's out in the middle of nowhere, and you can't protect against somebody coming along in a car, not paying attention and hitting her, or doing something more malicious.
These gray hairs are there for a reason.
She's cold, and it's windy, and she's pushing this 90-pound stroller uphill. And, I mean, she literally is one who could tell the story to her kids. I have pushed a 90-pound stroller uphill, and I had to push it downhill.
Rain coming down and lightning, the trucks come by, and the mud sprays up. You got to have your glasses on because sometimes, you know, rocks will hit your face. And it's not this romantic knowledge of just crossing the country. It is hard. You can imagine running a marathon. That's fine, but, you know, after the marathon's over, then you get to relax, you take a week off. She's doing maybe 20 miles to 41. That repetitive pounding, her feet are beat up. She was pushing that stroller into gusts of 50 miles an hour, and it was a direct headwind, and she said that every muscle on her body hurt.
It turns out running across the country is pretty difficult. I think it's been even more difficult than originally imagined. Christina just does not have an ounce of giving up in her body.
Despite the elements, Christina forged on, unshaken by the task at hand, unwavering from her commitment to the cause. She pushed ahead alone. Well, maybe not completely alone. She had something, someone to keep her company as the miles rolled along.
Thor is my baby stroller, and he gets me in a lot of trouble with the police because everybody's always calling me in as the crazy lady with a baby on the freeway. The reason I have Thor is because as a self-supported runner, I don't have a car behind me to carry my stuff. And so what I put inside of him is my clothes, water, food, all of those basic necessities. I mean, it is nice to have it named. I guess I could treat it as kind of like Wilson in Castaway. Hopefully I don't lose Thor, though. I don't know about that part of the movie.
Running for many is a way to stay in shape, a way to escape, to unwind. But for lifelong faithful Christina Lee, it was a way to give back. In July 2014, she began a journey that would take her coast to coast, from New York to California, all in the name of charity. You see, Lee was running for the Navy SEAL Foundation, and she happened to run not only into the hearts of people along the route, but also right onto the cover of one of the country's prominent magazines dedicated to the running world.
There are so many unbelievable stories in the running community, and we tell them in our pages and on our website, but we really wanted to bring as many of them together as we could in one really special issue. The contest was live for about 6 weeks, and in that time we got 2,341 entries. We noticed her fairly early on, but once we got to know her a little bit better and heard more about her story, more about her traumatic brain injury and how she responded to that and overcame that, the fact that she is running across the country self-supported, which is pretty unique, and to raise money for a charity that she just felt strongly about. And the more we talked to her, the more blown away we were by this young woman who's all of 23. We just became convinced that there really is nothing that this girl cannot do.
As Christina's journey progressed through the months and neared its end, she crossed into California and closer to her goal of raising both money and awareness for her cause. Along the way, she had been met with words of encouragement, donations, and smiles. And it was the perfect opportunity for the 49er franchise to ask her to take a small detour before crossing her own personal finish line.
Oh, gosh, I hate surprises.
Hi, Christina. Jerry Rice here. I heard about your cross-country run from New York to San Francisco and that you are doing it for the Navy SEAL Foundation. I'm so impressed by your ambition and determination.
Oh,
I know
gosh.
Your story will inspire our 49ers, so I have an idea. When you arrive, do you think you can run into Levi's Stadium and bring the game ball for our Week 12 game? I sure hope you can, and run safe. We'll see you at home. Bye.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe that was a message. Wow. Yes, I would love to. That would be amazing.
I think she'll be beside herself.
She's never really outgrown that feeling of just this tie to the 49ers.
It gives me chills. I don't even want to think about how amazing that would be for her. I mean, imagining that gives me chills, and imagining that for her is just, like, incredible.
You know, we're a couple generations into 49er faithful, and she'll be the third generation, and so to do this will be awesome.
Wow, what is my life right now? I just got a message from Jerry Rice.
So as Christina completed her journey, she needed only to run a few more steps. Her work complete. A check on her bucket list was accompanied by a huge show of appreciation for those who have served and continue to serve.
And running in now from the north end zone to deliver today's game ball, she has spent the past 4 months running 3,100 miles from New York back home to San Jose, raising money for the Navy SEALs Foundation. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome back from her journey native daughter and lifelong faithful, Christina Lee.
It's phenomenal to see the outreach of support from patriots in this nation. That includes Christina Lee, the San Francisco 49ers, who have been great supporters of ours. That is our job as a foundation, to shed light on what these men are doing and what their families are sacrificing.
I actually have a t-shirt that says, most people never meet their heroes. I've had the privilege to raise mine. She's an amazing human being.
If
Faithful is one of our guiding principles in our family. We're faithful to family. We're faithful to the 49ers.
The thing that I value about the 49er faithful is the camaraderie. The section that we were in Candlestick, I met those people once a week, and outside of that, our lives never crossed. But when we stepped into that stadium on Sundays, oh, you couldn't tell if we had been friends for 20 years or if we, you know, had been friends for decades more than that. That was just week in and week out. But you sat down in the stadium, and all of a sudden, you were high-fiving, and you were giving each other hugs. The 49er faithful, that's what I value. It's just these people that you don't know, but you're just bonded to them instantly, and they're there every week. I'm looking forward to being there again. It's one of my favorite parts of the weekend.
The team and Christina's family are looking forward to having her back where she belongs. The only challenge now is to decide what is next to check off the bucket list.
So the next thing on my bucket list, I'm saving my parents some gray hair. I felt like I gave them enough already. So I'm going to learn to play the guitar.
Makes me blush, makes me feel a little bit, it's amazing to hear. It never occurred to me that I would inspire someone else to run across the country. I had my own ideas of why I was doing it for lung cancer and to honor a friend of mine. And it really never occurred to me that it would inspire someone else to do something like that for a cause that was as important to them as lung cancer was to me. When you have something, again, that's so much bigger than you, and you're doing it for people that are fighting such an enormous cause. You know, for me, I was doing it for people fighting cancer. And for Christina, she's doing it for people who are fighting for our country, and it's just so much bigger than you. It really makes what you're doing seem pretty easy.